very, very difficult times for the kids, young people inside here, you know. Things needs to be improved here, sorted out, like, you know, it's going on too long. For the kids' sake and for the family's sake, you know.
Fill in the potholes there and all that, like. All the children are all hurting themselves and all that, like.
So fill in the potholes, something as simple as that.
Yeah.
And what about the washing facilities? What are they like?
They're bad, like, they need to do something with, like.
And the caravans and the
Better homes. We need better homes.
Better homes.
Yeah, better homes, yeah. We should provide it with chalets to be way better off.
So like a chalet, not like a mobile home.
Mobile homes is no good, they're not winterproof.
And what's that like with the fact
in the winter
that
time, the kids will be freezing the cold inside it. Like in other sites around the country, in Dublin and elsewhere, they provide so much chalets. They're winterproof, you know, more warm and ranges and heatproof for the kids, you know.
And do you think the facilities are third world? Do you think they're very old-fashioned?
Yeah, the mobile homes, they're only summer homes, they're not good enough.
What's it like living here?
Oh, jeez, it's like a top world. Don't be putting me in any TVs now.
Well, there's no TV. We're not on TV.
This is
radio.
It's like a top world.
They're summer homes, and in the wintertime, the kids will be freezing inside it.
There's no washing facilities. There's a washing machine there, and if it gets wet, it trips. So you've nowhere drying the clothes or nothing for the children.
And how many years have you been living here?
Oh, jeez, 30 years.
So you've been here since the start?
Yeah, 35 years, I said, it's built here now, nearly.
And how is it for the children?
Oh, desperate. It's desperate for the kids. In the wintertime, they'll be freezing with the cold. And it'll be all coughs
and
asthma.
Can you see the way it's overcrowded in here? There's an awful overcrowding in here.
Overcrowding?
Everyone is living on top of one another. Every caravan, there's only 2 foot between every caravan inside in parts of the site.
So very crammed.
Yeah, they're all side by side off one another, and they're all overcrowded.
And how are you getting through the pandemic?
We're struggling through it. We're barely struggling. We're trying to make the best of it. There's too many families in one site. The site is overcrowded. Like, they should, for the amount of people just living in here, the amount of families living in here, they should have separate sites. Like, this was only designed for 10 bays the first time, 10 families. Now there's 45 families inside it. We're all big families. The council, they're not listening. They're letting people here linger and suffer. Suffer, and they don't care about where they suffer. Once they're out of their way and they don't hear from them, they don't mind. They're living as they live.
Are the rats an issue?
There are millions of them. They're like flies around there. That's not good for the kids. That's not good for any health. For any person, rats running around the place. There's a fella comes around with the poison, he might come in now and again. He'd put one knob in one bag, maybe 10 boxes around the whole site, where there's 45 families. And he's picked one little small sash in each bag, a small little bit of a sash, and he expect that in to kill millions of rats.
So the ombudsman,
like, where's he going with 10 sashes for to kill millions of rats?
So the Ombudsman for Children has strongly criticised the local council about the conditions here on this halting site, describing it as shocking and deplorable. And the report is called No End in Sight. How bad are conditions here? How difficult are they?
Oh, Jesus, this is like a top world in here. This site, it is overcrowded, way overcrowded. There's too many families inside it.
Families living here for the last 30 years, and there's a three generation of one family in here. People used to be housed out of here now, and their living condition is very bad.
So very bad conditions.
Very, very bad, very bad living conditions.
And how is it for the kids?
Well, the kids don't have any playing area. They have no place to play, like to cycle a bike or play a ball or play a hurdling or anything like that.
And tell me about washing facilities and showering. How do you do that?
Well, I've a bet inside, and it takes 5 to 6 hours for less than a half a bet of water to heat up. And where you have a crowd of kids, maybe 5 or 6 or 6 or 7 kids to be washed inside that one bed of water, because you can't allow it to go out to wait for another 6 hours for another bet of water to be heated up. And
so like the 1950s?
Yes, and it's very... Like, you have to wash 7 kids and sign that there now, and the kids don't want to use one water, but you have no other choice to do that. And I think at this age and stage, you know, I think that the council, like, is getting a grant from the government.
So hopefully things will get better.
And hopefully things will get better now. After 30 years, I think it's time for, at this age and stage now, for life to pick up. And it's not coming from the council. Like, the government is giving the council money to look after the travelling people, either house them or site them or support them in some way, like, but they're not doing that. They don't use the money. Sometimes it sends the money back. They want to satisfy you for the help and support you with that funding. And they're neglecting the travelling people. And they can support them and help them if they want to.
Like, there's over 45 or 50 families in here now, like. You're all young families coming up again, and there's going to be a lot more of them, because there's a lot of young boys and girls around there now getting married. And they need space, and they need places to go.
So I'm Breed O'Donoghue and I'm the Director for Advocacy for the Traveller Visibility Group. We went to the Ombudsman ourselves and drew attention to this because we have been campaigning for this over the last 20 years. You know, this is an old issue, it's not new.
So this site's been here since what, 89?
1989 the site was first opened, and on the day that it was first opened it was overcrowded at that stage. So.
And there's 10 bays for...
48 families.
48 families.
Yes.
And how many kids?
There's well over 60 kids in there anyway. And the majority of those wouldn't have access to a toilet or a shower or heating. The report speaks for itself. The word failure came up all across the report as well. And there has been a failure to the families on this site, and particularly since we've been talking about it and campaigning around this for the last 20 years.
And they have welfare huts. So what's a welfare hut?
Some people have welfare huts, and that could may be a steel container that holds a shower and a toilet and a sink. That's what a welfare hut is, but not all families would have access to that.
Children between the ages of 3 and 17 were interviewed, and they talk about rats climbing up the walls, they talk about condensation, going to school dirty.
It makes me feel angry. It makes me feel very sad that in 2021 we still have children living in those conditions, and not just on that particular site that you referred to. That's going on right across the country, not a mind the county, you know. Despite money being allocated from central government over and over again and not being used, not being drawn down, you know, because of local resistance to traveller specific accommodation. We have a site that's holding 48 families plus, and that was originally built for 10 families. So we have a surplus of over 30 families that have been looking for traveller-specific accommodation for the last 20 years. Now, we also have a large access area adjacent to that site that traveller accommodation could have been developed on over the last number of years. It's actually mentioned in the new traveller accommodation programme. Now it is met with a lot of local resistance. There's no travellers moving in. The travellers that is on that site have lived there since 1989. They've been born there and they've reared their own families on that site. That's their home. And I suppose to go one further, that's been a traveller traditional camping ground for the last 70 or 80 years. My grandparents grew up on that site, in that area, you know.
When you were growing up, did you suffer dampness? Did you suffer these type of things, rats?
Yes, I did. I actually left that site in 1995 because of overcrowding. I was one of the first families on that site when it opened. It was overcrowded then, and it was overcrowded when I left it 5 years later. And as you can see, because of the poor management of the overcrowding issue, it's gotten worse. And that is all a direct result of the Trespass Act that came out in 2002, which prohibited travellers from being nomadic and living on the side of the road, you know. There was no play area for children. There's still no play area. There's no green area for children to play ball or play anything. There's absolutely no provisions there for children. And in spite of that, there's not even a clear, safe footpath for children to access school.
And now with the pandemic, it makes it even harder, doesn't it, to try and remain healthy?
Absolutely. I mean, in credit to the families, for the first 9 months of the pandemic, they managed to avoid it. You know, now there was a bit of an outbreak up there earlier in the year, and they managed it quite well. You know, in fairness, despite not having the facilities that they would have needed to keep themselves safe, but in fairness to the families, they did the best they could. To think that travellers that want to live in that nomadic lifestyle or live in traveller-specific accommodation, to see how they're being treated now because of their ethnic status, I suppose it's very concerning to think that we're now in a multicultural society and where travellers are still, I suppose, at the very end of the pecking order, you know. Racism towards travellers is the last respectable form of racism. You know, it's okay to be racist towards travellers, but not to anybody else.
My name is TJ Hogan. I'm a community activist. I work and live within the travelling community. I'm from Farnry, Cork City. Travel accommodation affects so much of the culture, of the aspects, and also the living conditions has a huge knock-on effect on the high suicide rates that the travelling community are currently facing, and also the health implications that it has for travellers. 50% of travellers die before the age of 40. 1% live over the age of 65. I myself have worked since the age of 16, and even last year when they turned around to me and said, TJ, do you want to go and about a pension? Given the statistics that I know about my community, I might not live long enough for a pension. And there is lots of people in my community paying tax. And every time that an issue comes around accommodation or about this specific site, it becomes down to a political football field where used of anti-racist sentiments used to win political votes.
And it's been there since 1989. You lived on this site.
I have, yeah.
And one of the children that lives there, one of the 12-year-olds, who lives there told this No End in Sight report. It's like an abandoned place that people forgot about. It's like we're forgotten. We feel like garbage.
It's so overcrowded. I was sharing wash facilities with nearly 7 to 8 families. Seven to eight families, and that's per bay, you know. And the report highlighted that 140 families in general uses 40 wash facilities. You know, the whole idea of human rights is totally taken away from people. Money has never been an issue to deal with the crisis in travel accommodation, unlike the housing crisis. Unfortunately, it just went there year in, year out, and went unspent due to anti-bias. But what's getting lost out of all of it is the rights of a human being, and in this case, children, not having a safe place to live, a safe place to grow up, and a place that they don't know whether they can call home or not now, because they've been constantly under threat by anti-racist sentiments, be it via Facebook, in person, or to live in any halting site in this country. It's very, very hard. It's not easy. It's a lack of willpower, and it's denying children a decent and a real chance at life.